You're listening to WCAT Radio, your home for authentic Catholic programming.
Welcome. If you know Mary, you know Jesus. Hello there, everyone. My name is Bob Cantoni, and we're back again. I'm going to continue with our series on the seven sorrows of Our Lady. I thank you for being patient with me. I am a seminarian, so it's not always easy to be on time, if you will. But I'll do the best I can, but I definitely will get all seven sorrows of Our Lady as seen by St. Alphonsus Liguori, his meditations on the seven sorrows of Mary. St. Alphonsus is one of the great, great Marian saints, and he puts it in such a beautiful way. I hope it truly moves your heart, and it helps us to grow in holiness, grow in love with Mary, and grow in love with Jesus. So last week we completed the first sorrow, which is the prophecy of Simeon, and that's taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 34-35. This week we're going to do the flight into Egypt. That's taken from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. And before we begin, let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Immaculate Mother, we love you so, and we're here to console your heart and remove each of those seven sorrows that penetrate, pierce your heart, and the pain that you endure for love of us, love of your Son Jesus, love of God and love of neighbor. And you did say once, Mary, that there is no pain too great for you to help save one of your children. So we're here as your children, as those that you have loved through your pain and suffering, and we've come to know you through our consecration to your Immaculate Heart. And as your children who love you, dear Mother, we wish to console your heart. Because by consoling your heart, we console the heart of Jesus. And we hope and we pray that our prayers and meditations will save many souls and will bring about the glory of God and the church, triumph of your Immaculate Heart in the world. Amen. St. Joseph, Terror of Demons, beloved husband and father, please intercede for us all, pray for us, and protect us. And I call upon all you great Marian saints, along with St. Alphonsus Liguori, to pray for us and intercede for us. Amen. So before I begin, I just want to reiterate. I know I might put these the seven graces that are attached when you meditate on the seven sorrows of Our Lady. The seven promises of Our Lady. I did do it in a previous show. I can't remember when. Just as a reminder, the first promise, Our Lady says, I will grant peace to their families. I can witness to that. It is so true. She does intercede and brings peace within our families. The second one, they will be enlightened about the divine mysteries. How true is that? Especially when we meditate on her sorrows and the gospel message in it, and meditate on it, definitely enlightens us and helps us to dive deeper into the mysteries, the hidden mysteries of the gospel. Number three, I will console them in their pains and I will accompany them in their work. Number four, I will give them as much as they ask for, as long as it is not opposed. The verbal will, sanctification of their souls. Number five, I will defend them in their spiritual battles with the infernal enemy and protect them at every instant of their lives. I can't thank God enough for that one, especially in this day and age where there's so much evil. We need that protection. We need Our Lady to protect and defend us against all the attacks of the evil one, especially in our families. Number six, I will visibly help them at the moment of their death. They will see the face of their mother. Oh, my goodness. What a beautiful gift that is. Number seven, I have obtained this grace from my divine Son that those who propagate this devotion to my tears and dolors will be taken directly from this earthly life to eternal happiness, since all their sins will be forgiven and my Son and I will be their eternal consolation and joy. Sounds too good to be true. But anything is possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Of course, we have to have all the normal conditions, like we be in the state of grace, working out our salvation in fear and trembling, embracing all of our crosses, prayer, sacrifice, penance, fasting, Eucharist, hopefully daily if we can, Holy Communion, Sacrament of Reconciliation, and also through the consecration of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we're upholding our end of the bargain of being devoted to Mary, the Rosary, her seven sorrows. And any which way we can console the hearts of Jesus and Mary, and love God above all else, and love our neighbor with Mary's help. Not impossible, and it's a beautiful promise, and this was really the promise that got me so inspired to spread this devotion. So I pray that all of you will spread it as well, based on those seven beautiful promises and gifts by Our Lady. Okay, now it's time for the meditation on the second sorrow, according to St. Louis de Montfort, according to St. Alphonsus Liguori, and it is found in his beautiful book called On the Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori. And this second sorrow is the flight of Jesus into Egypt, and I'm going to let St. Alphonsus speak now from here on in, and this is what he says. A stag wounded by an arrow carries the pain with him wherever he goes because he still bears the arrow that wounded him. Similarly, the Blessed Mother, after hearing the sad prophecy of Simeon, always carried her sorrow with her in continual remembrance of the passion of her son. Explaining this passage of the Canticles, "Your hair is like draperies of purple. A king is held captive in its tresses," taken from Canticles chapter 7, verse 5. Algrino says that it refers to Mary's continual thoughts about the passion of Jesus. The blood which was one day to flow from his wounds was kept continually before her eyes. "Your mind and your thoughts, O Mary, steeped in the blood of our Lord's passion, were always filled with sorrow, just as if they actually beheld the blood flowing from his wounds." The arrow in the heart of Mary was her son herself, and the more precious he appeared to her to be, the more deeply the thought of losing him by such a cruel death wounded her heart. Let us now turn to the second sort of sorrow which wounded Mary, the flight of her infant Jesus into Egypt to escape the persecution of Herod. Having heard that long-awaited Messiah had been born, Herod foolishly feared that he would deprive him of his kingdom. Saint Fulgentius rebuked the king for his foolhardiness, addressing him, saying, "Why are you disturbed, Herod? The king who is born does not come to conquer kings by the sword. He will subjugate them in a most remarkable manner by his death." Herod waited to hear from the holy Magi where the young king was born and planned to take his life. When he found he had been deceived, he ordered all the infants in the neighborhood of Bethlehem to be put to death. It was then that the angel appeared in a dream to Saint Joseph and told him, "Arise, take the child and his mother and flee into Egypt." Matthew 2, verse 13. According to Gerson, St. Joseph immediately told Mary about the command. They took the infant Jesus and they set out at once. He arose and took the child and his mother by night and withdrew into Egypt. Matthew 2, verse 14. O God, St. Albert the Great pictures Mary as saying, "Must he who came to save men now flee from them? No sooner is Jesus born than he is persecuted." Mary began to realize that Simeon's prophecy regarding her son was already being fulfilled. "He is set out for a sign that shall be contradicted." Luke 2, verse 34. What anguish the realization of the impending exile must have caused Mary. St. Peter Christologus sees fit to paraphrase the angel's words. Flee from your friends to the abode of strangers. Flee from the temple of God to the shrines of the demons. Oh, what tribulation for a newborn infant, still at his mother's breasts, will have to flee into a foreign land. It is easy to imagine that Mary must have suffered on the journey. The distance to Egypt was considerable. Some authors estimate that it was 400 miles, requiring a journey up to 30 days. The road was rough, unknown, and not very much traveled. According to St. Bonaventure's description, it was wintertime, so that they had to make their way through snow and rain and wind over rough and dirty roads. Mary was then only 15 years old, a delicate young girl, unused to travel, to such travel. They had no one to accompany them. St. Peter Christologus says, Joseph and Mary had no servants. They were obliged to be both servants and masters. What a touching sight it must have been to see this delicate virgin, the newborn babe in her arms, wandering through a strange land. How did they get their food? Asked St. Bonaventure. Where did they stop for the night? They probably were satisfied with a hard piece of bread, either brought along by Joseph or begged as alms. The only place that they could have slept along the road, especially through 200 miles of desert where there were no houses or inns, was on the sand or under a tree, in the open air and exposed to the dangers of robbers and wild animals with which Egypt abounded. If anyone had met these three, the greatest personages in the world, would he have not thought that they were but three poor wandering beggars? According to Brocard and Jansenius, they resided in Egypt at a place called Mataria. St. Anselm, on the other hand, says they lived in the town of Heliopolis, or at Memphis, now the town of Cairo. Imagine the pinching poverty they must have endured during the 7 years they spent there. According to St. Antoninus, St. Thomas, and other authors, they were strangers, unknown, without income, money, or relatives, and barely able to support themselves by the work of their hands. Since they were destitute, says St. Basil, it is obvious that they must have worked very hard to provide themselves with the necessities of life. Ludolf of Saxony has written, and let this be a consolation to the poor, that Mary lived there in such poverty that there were times when she did not have even a piece of bread to give her son when he was hungry. After the death of Herod, according to the account in St. Matthew, the angel again appeared to St. Joseph in a dream and told them to return to Judea. With reference to this return, St. Bonaventure reflects how much more the Blessed Virgin must have suffered this time, since Jesus was now older, about 7 years of age. As the saint remarks, an age when children are too big to carry and not yet strong enough to walk long distances by themselves. The thought of Jesus and Mary wandering as fugitives to a strange land teaches us that we must also live as pilgrims here below, detached from the material things that the world offers, and which we must soon leave to enter eternity. Here we have no permanent city, but seek for the city that is to come. Hebrews 13, verse 14. To which St. Augustine adds, you are only a guest here. You glance around and then pass on. It also teaches us to embrace crosses, but we cannot live in this world without them. Blessed Veronica of Binasco, an Augustinian nun, accompanied Mary and the infant Jesus in spirit on their way to Egypt. Afterwards, the Blessed Mother said to her, daughter, you have seen how difficult it was for us to reach this country. Learn from this that no one receives graces without suffering. Anyone who wishes to have the sufferings of this life lightened must travel in the company of Jesus and Mary. Take the child and his mother, Matthew 2, verse 20. All sufferings become light and even sweet and desirable to one who lovingly bears Jesus and Mary in his heart. Let us then prove that we love them. Let us make Mary happy by welcoming her son in our hearts, the son whom men still continue to persecute by their sins. And that's the end of the meditation by St. Alphonsus, and we'll begin with his example that he gives on his teaching. And this is what he says about it. One day the Blessed Virgin appeared to St. Colette, a Franciscan nun, and showed her the infant Jesus in a basin, bruised and mutilated. Mary said to her, "This is the way sinners continually treat my dear son, renewing his death in my sorrows. My daughter, you must pray for them so that they will be converted." We may also cite another vision seen by the Venerable Sister Joanna of Jesus and Mary, also a Franciscan nun. One day, when she was meditating on the infant Jesus persecuted by Herod, she heard a loud noise, like that of armed men pursuing someone. Immediately, she saw before her a beautiful child, out of breath and running, who exclaimed, "Oh, Joanna, help me, conceal me. I am Jesus of Nazareth. I am fleeing from these sinners who wish to kill me and persecute me as Herod did. Please save me." And ending with that, there is a short prayer by St. Alphonsus, and I pray this with all of you and those listening. I ask you to pray it within your heart as well as I pray this prayer. O Mary, your son expired at the hands of men who persecuted him to death. These ungrateful men still go on persecuting him by their sins, and they continue to afflict you. O sorrowful mother, O God, I too am one of these. My most sweet mother, let me have tears to weep over my ingratitude. By the sufferings you endured on that journey to Egypt, help me in a journey I now have to make to eternity, so that I may finally be united to you in loving my persecuted Savior in the kingdom of the blessed. Amen. And I'm going to end this meditation today in these prayers with a Hail Mary, and then I will continue with the third sorrow next time. So please join me again, and I thank you for joining me today. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Sorrowful and Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. God bless all. Until next time.
Hello, God's beloved. I'm Annabelle Mosley, author, professor of theology, and host of Then Sings My Soul and Destination Sainthood on WCAT Radio. I invite you to listen in and find inspiration along this sacred journey we're traveling together to make our lives a masterpiece and, with God's grace, become saints. Join me, Annabelle Mosley, for Then Sings My Soul and Destination Sainthood on WCAT Radio. God bless you. Remember, you're never alone. God is always with you.
Thank you for listening to a production of WCAT Radio. Please join us in our mission of evangelization. And don't forget, love lifts up where knowledge takes flight.